Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am absolutely honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. These are people who are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, they may be authors or speakers, they may be business coaches or virtual assistants. These are people who have wonderful stories to share and who are excited to freely share their tips, their actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome to the show Michelle Sism. She is a leading authority on business growth, an international speaker, an author, and the founder of DecisiveMinds.com. Michelle is a leading authority on business growth and online marketing, and her clients call her the Results Lady, which is a great thing to be called, because as a business strategist, she helps entrepreneurs turn their passion into expert status and then profits. She is also an international speaker, a radio show host, and I think I mentioned an author. Her knowledge in the areas of business growth and online marketing have been recognized during recent interviews on several web TV shows, including being interviewed by Christy Frank from Donald Trump's The Apprentice. Known for her direct approach and her desire to see business owners succeed, as well as, I have my windows open, and I think pollen just came in the window. As well as her ability to get directly to the problem and her big smile, Michelle is all over the Internet using social media, audio, video, and blogging to get her word out and help entrepreneurs. There are some links in the show notes, but for free business building tips and how-to articles, you can find her online at www.decisiveminds.com. Michelle, welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, and I have to tell our audience, this is the first time I have interviewed a fellow Louisianian. I mean, normally I interview people. I know. I was like, oh my gosh, she's right down the road. I'm in Lafayette, you're in Lake Charles. We're practically neighbors. So welcome.
I'm telling you. It's really exciting, Denise, because what's funny is I was telling someone the other day, I don't do a lot of speaking in Louisiana. I don't get invited here. I travel the entire country. I speak in Canada and almost never speak here at home. So it's fun. I'm so glad we're doing this. And yeah, I was excited to see that you were right there in Lafayette.
I know. I mean, it's an odd thing. I do a lot of business like you. I do a lot of business here and in Canada and in the UK. Mm-hmm. I don't have any social media clients here, and I only have 3 web development clients, and 2 of them I've never met. So it's an odd world we live in online, I have to say.
It's interesting.
It is fascinating, actually. And I was telling Michelle in the green room before we started, I know a lot of people are still kind of snowed in and having actual winter. We decided that we have had, 5.5 days of winter?
Yeah.
That my windows are open. You know, I mean, stuff is flying in the windows. It's so pretty. I couldn't stand to be closed in. But before we get started, Michelle, tell the audience a bit about yourself that I may have missed in the intro.
Sure. So, like you, I love that you said you were a serial entrepreneur. I am as well. I was actually, I'm a third-generation entrepreneur, so I was born into a family that had kids to guarantee they had employees. You know, we had a grocery store, a mobile home park, a wrecker service, a trucking company. I grew up, my childhood years working in the grocery store. I started there at the age of 5. And then when I came out of college, I have a degree in accounting. When I came out of college, I started working in a trucking company and ended up spending probably the next 15 to 18 years building that company to a point where we sold it in 2007 and my entire family retired. And I was We'd sold our other businesses the year before. Literally, my entire family retired in 2007. And
oh,
so
wow.
What happened for me, though, let me tell you what happens to a serial entrepreneur who retires and thinks they're just going to travel the world. Yeah. Well, I forgot that I had kids in high school, and my husband still had his business, and I found myself, after the first year, pretty much on the couch every day, and I was miserable. And so I ended up in 2009 kind of doing the what's next search. I ended up at a conference in California, and it was a three-day conference, and I sat there in the audience watching this guy on stage teaching people how to build their businesses, and I could complete every sentence. And I thought, well, gosh, I know how to do all that. How do I make money doing this? And so I hired him to show me how to make money using my business knowledge, because I had built multiple businesses at that point and sold them. And so, it's kind of how I began. The Decisive Minds began in January of 2010, and I went out and started in a very brand new world. The trucking company was not built online, and this company was built with a very significant online presence, as well as going out and speaking and traveling. And, it's been exciting. That first year was tough. I didn't know if I was going to do it after that first year, I'll be real honest, because I made almost no money. And here I was in 2007, I signed a contract for $9 million to sell my company. In 2010, I made a whopping $12,000 in this business. But what I didn't realize was that I was actually starting the ball rolling in building relationship and building community. And in 2011, I hit the six-figure mark, and we hit $500,000 in, I guess that was 2014, and it's just continued from there. And so, we'll do three quarters this year, and our goal is $1 million, and keep going. So it's a lot of fun. I love it.
And so you said something there that is so important, that first year you didn't really make money. But being an online business, I'm rather suspecting you didn't lose a lot of money. You might have broken even. But the thing is,
right,
it does take time. And I hope our audience is listening very carefully to this point. It takes time to create those relationships and create those networks and to get your get people to pay attention to you. And one of the biggest things as a web developer, that I find people say, I've got to get found, Yes, but what are you doing to get found? What is your other platform? What does your social media
mm-hmm.
look like? How are you
right.
responding to people? And I think, oddly enough, to you and to me, that's kind of a brave new world for a lot of people, isn't
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely something I'd never experienced before. And, I was very well known in industries where I'd spent my life. But coming out into the coaching world, which I didn't even know existed in 2007, right? I had no clue this stuff was even going on. And starting this company and getting out there on social media, it was I'm a big believer that business is business, and business is about building relationship. And but I had never experienced building relationship online. That was a very interesting shift. And like you said, a really big lesson was that because I really thought that I would build it exclusively online. That was my goal. I'm very shy and introverted, and networking is difficult, right? I do it. Speaking is difficult. I do it, but
right.
I still do it, knowing that I only have to survive the hour. And
you are a braver woman
first,
than
yeah.
I am. I'm a total introvert. I'm not shy. I'm a total introvert, but I am not going to get on a stage. Thank you very much. Not going to happen.
Yes. Well, I found out very quickly that if I didn't start to do those things, you said earlier, you've got to be looking at what are the multiple, avenues. And so online's been very successful for me. I've got really, built a really great community online. Getting out there and taking it to the next level, them meeting me in person, them seeing me on stage, right, is where they're making those buying decisions. So, it's important to look at it and to know that it really does take a combination of the pieces to make it work.
And it
so.
Takes time. It does take time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't happen, I will have clients come to me and say, okay, I've got 3 months, but I'm going to launch my book in 3 months, and
mm-hmm.
I need to have a platform built. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, so we have the talk. Yeah. We can do
that's
this.
That's right. I think a lot of people have very, yeah, they have very unrealistic expectations of what this is and what the reality is. And I want to say to those people that, you know, I mean, this isn't my first rodeo. I've built plenty of businesses. I didn't build any of them in one day, right?
No.
It took time. We built relationship. We, you know, I tell my clients all the time, my dad, we worked really hard, and we were trying to get a contract in the trucking company with what used to be Vista, now it's Sasol. And he worked for 5 years going and going and going and going and going back and back and back to those people to build that relationship before they finally let us bid on a contract that we ended up with. So, you know, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to put in to have it and get it? That relationship takes time. They do not just go, oh, I like what you've got, I'll just buy. It doesn't work like that.
Not anymore, it sure
yeah.
doesn't.
No. Mm-mm.
And these days, and I've made this point before, but it used to be, because when I started out in the web development industry, and then, of course, virtual assistants and online business management just went hand in hand as kind of added value, you know, for my clients. But it used to be, and I know you remember these days, that if you had a website, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, you had a website, if you had a picture on it, and if you had any kind of interaction at all, it was the picture of you standing in your nice, you know, power suit, male or female,
exactly,
with your hand on the back of a leather chair, and you look like a banker who just came from lunch.
Exactly.
That doesn't work anymore. You have to have to get out there one way or another. I'm a complete introvert, and I'm camera phobic to an alarming degree, so you don't see me online, but I'm out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm all over the place, but I have found a way to make that work for me. So I think, you know, what you're saying and what I'm saying is that you really have to get out there and interact and make connections and see where you can be helpful to other people and kind of keep yourself top of mind when they are ready.
Exactly. That is exactly right. So from a social media aspect, from a list building aspect, having multiple avenues for people to see things, you know, we know from Marketing 101 teaches us that it requires people seeing things 15, 18 times these days. And, you know, when I started this business and started really learning about behavior in the buying public, and back in 2010, we were saying it takes 10 to 12 times for them to see something. That's been up to 15 to 18 just in 6 years, right? Meaning that when we put something out, people have to see it multiple times. And so we do want to be connected socially. We want to be connected through our list. We want them to be seeing us on a radio show like yours, right? We need people to have access to us in multiple ways and many ways. You can't just put something out once and think, oh, it's done, right? Or your person that wanted to build their whole community in 3 months. It's not just done. So, yeah.
And you have to keep recycling through a lot of information. It's astonishing to me that people don't understand that this wonderful content they've created over time, maybe over the last 2 or 3 years, it is still valid, still pertinent, can be repurposed and put out again. And they're like, oh, but I already put it out. Head smack, head smack, head smack. No, no.
Yeah.
You don't understand. It's just like a website. People don't always come to your index page. They find you in multiple ways, and they're going to land on multiple pages. It might be a lead page. It might be optimized press. It can be anything. So it's
right.
I don't know where that mindset comes from. It's something I puzzle over a good bit, but just because you put it out once doesn't mean you shouldn't just, you know, not randomly get it out there, have a plan, but, you know, hone your message and get it out there. So what do you suggest
Absolutely.
People do when they're trying to hone their message and say, oh, but I don't want to nag? Well, you know, one person might have seen it, but the other million didn't. So what do you tell people about that?
That's actually it. You hit the nail on the head there. It is that people don't want to be nagging other people, right? I don't want to bother them. I hear that all the time. I don't want to bother them. And the reality is this. And number one, you put it out and you see it, so you think everyone else sees it. And very few people actually see what you put out. When you're putting out through social media, you know, maybe 5% of your audience on social media sees what you put out. They may not be active at that moment. They may not go that day at all. They may not. They may only look at things in the afternoon, and you put it out in the morning, right? And so, I think the issue is that we, number one, see our own stuff, so we think everybody's seeing it, and number two, we fall in love with our stuff, and so we think everybody's seeing it.
I'm guilty.
It's human nature. That's exactly right. We spent all this time writing this fabulous blog post, and so, you know, we're going to put it out, and they're going to buy what we tell them to buy because it's in there. And I tell my clients all the time, it's all about the numbers, people. It's all about conversion is looking at how many people actually saw it, how many people actually went to the blog post on your website, and then how many people took action. Because, you know, I think that I look at everything from a statistical standpoint because that's my nature. I am a numbers person. I do everything by the numbers. And so when we'll take our list, for example. You know, I'll hear people say, my clients will say to me, but I don't want to email them multiple times. I'm like, you have to, right? Because first of all, only at a maximum 20% of your list is even opening the email. That's it. 80% of the people on your list are never even going to open the email and see what's inside. So 20% of them open, maybe 10% of them take an action out of the 20%. For some people, right, that means one person might take action, right? When they think, I'm going to email this to my list of 200 and everybody's going to buy. It doesn't work like that. We have to continue. We have to put up a schedule. And so, you know, we've developed in our business, we are really good now at how many, you know, what's the social media platform or our social media process that we're going to go through because we're in the middle of this. And what's the email strategy that's going along with that? And where are the speaking engagements happening that are going to tell people about it so they can see it on the social media post, right? I mean, we have all of these pieces laid out. I have to tell you a funny story. I was at a conference a couple of summers ago. I think it was the eWomen conference. Anyway, I'm coming out of a room, and this woman comes running up to me, and she's like, oh, my God, Michelle Sism. She said, I just want to thank you for sending me 12 emails because I bought that program that you just launched. It is amazing. And I had to kind of chuckle to myself because we had sent out like 5 emails, so we had done that. But she's connected with me on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all these other places, and we had an email campaign and a complete social media campaign. So she had seen it in all of those places. To her, it felt like she got 12 emails, right? But she was okay with it. So the funny thing was that she felt like she had had 12 touches, you know, but she had made the decision, and she needed those 12 touches to finally make the decision. And so I thought it was super cute that she felt like it was 12 emails. It wasn't, but I don't care. I would have sent her 12 emails if I needed to, right? So, yeah, for the audience, I just want you to get clear that just because you're seeing your own stuff doesn't mean that other people are. It amazes me. You know, I do a big 3-day event every single year in Houston, and I will get close to that event, and someone inevitably who I think is really close to me will say, oh, my God, I didn't even realize your event was happening next month. And I'm thinking, we have been out on everything. Every blog post is about it. Every email is going out about it. Social media, we've got it everywhere. I'm doing videos. I'm out speaking. And still, they didn't see it, right? You got to remember they're being bombarded with so much stuff. So, yeah, it's our responsibility to get seen. It's not their responsibility to find us.
So. And I think that's the point that a lot of people miss. You know, it's just so easy to say, but I put it out there. I mean, you know, why is nobody responding to it? And this is one that I hear often enough that it concerns me that, you know, just this radio show, for instance. I have a client that, you know, we would get him booked on radio shows, and pretty soon he came to me and he said, I'm not seeing any return on this. Oh, my. Oh, my. So I would have the talk again. You're not going to see, you know, you're not going to sell anything. People are not going to make an appointment with you. You are getting known. You're getting your voice out there. You're leveraging their audience. Yeah, but I'm not making any money. Okay.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot. So how do you combat that kind of attitude?
Well,
because
So let's have that conversation. That's an excellent conversation. And the first thing is, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you have to get really clear that there are a couple of different things that you have to do. And one is that you have to understand that marketing, your marketing strategy and your sales strategy have two completely different outcomes. Your marketing strategy is what you do to get seen, to get noticed. You get on radio shows. You build your social media. You know, when we started this show a few minutes ago, I tweeted and said, "Hey, I'm on Denise's show right now. Join us." And someone, mm-hmm. Charlotte Greenman, I hope you're listening, retweeted it. Right?
Oh, nice.
Those are
thank you,
yeah,
Charlotte.
Yeah, thank you, Charlotte. That's right. So, you know, I do those things. I have marketing activities because I am building my company and the name and my name and all of that for visibility, for building a community, because I am clear that I have to build a community to build a relationship to make money. So marketing is strictly designed to build the community. So did your list grow? Did your social media numbers grow? Are you tracking those things? Majority of people don't even track those things. They couldn't tell me on January 1 how big their list was or how big their social media was, right? You need to know those things. That's why we market. Number two, a sales strategy is the place where we're actually selling someone. So when he did the radio shows and he gets these people into community with him and he starts to build a relationship, is he asking them, hey, can we have a conversation? And the conversation is part of his sales strategy. In the conversation, he's going to talk to them about what he does or what he offers. Right?
Exactly.
Are we on a radio show because we're wanting people to come to a free webinar that we're going to do? And on that free webinar, that's going to turn into our sales strategy, because from the webinar, we have something we're going to sell. So it really is, and this is a big problem for a lot of entrepreneurs, because they don't get it, that there's a difference between marketing and sales. They have two completely different outcomes. So I hope that helps you.
Very much. I mean, I knew that, but I wasn't able to articulate it as well as you just did. I'm scribbling down notes like crazy.
Great.
So thank you. Because I will say, no, you know, this is what happens. But after a while, I feel like I'm kind of just repeating myself over and over again, and the message is just not getting through. So
yeah.
I am going to rephrase how I'm responding.
Yeah, and it is to look at, how committed are you to building this business? Because there are facts, and, you know, people tell me all the time, I just tell too much of the truth, right? But the truth is that it takes time to build business, and we've been talking about that since we started the show. And so when I start working with a client who's fairly new in their business, I ask them what their commitment level is. Are you committed to continue to do this for the next 18 months and not make any money? Because we have to build your community, build your relationships, and then we can start to really see a monetary turn. Doesn't mean you're not going to make any money in those 18 months, but you're not going to come in here and ask me how you can build a six-figure business in 18 months unless you already have your community built. If you have your community built, yay, let's go after it, right? But if you haven't built the community, then that is the first requirement, absolutely.
I work with a lot of authors and speakers, and you're speaking my language. I mean, it's mm-hmm. critical that they have that community, that platform built before they go out and try to start any kind of a book launch.
Absolutely. You know, I've written three books, and the last book I wrote is Take the Risks or Get a Job. And it's been about a year and a half since I wrote that book. And so, you know, I'm 6 years into this business. January was our sixth anniversary. In November of last year, you know, Black Friday, and then the next day is Small Business Saturday, and then Monday is Cyber Monday. They all three happen within, you know, that one weekend. And so we did a big launch for Black Friday, which was awesome. We just killed it. Saturday we had something special. And Monday what we did was we decided to do a thank you to our community and give them free copies, free Kindle copies of my book. And so really the idea behind it was simply to gift them for being such a great supportive community. And what ended up happening was we went number one that day on Amazon with no intention
Congratulations.
Of doing that. Thank you. Because, but here's the lesson I learned was my audience was 5 years into the process with me at that point.
Oh, good right? point.
They were committed. Yeah. I had built a community. I have, I don't know, 13,000 fans on my fan page. I've got, you know, 12,000 people on my list. I've got 7,000 people following me on Twitter. I've put in the time and built the community, and they're paying attention. And so, you know, so it ended up being a gift for me, right, that I was trying to gift them, and I ended up with the gift. But the lesson I learned from that was that I've got a community, and there they mm-hmm. take action. And so you have to be looking at, what do I have to do to build my community?
And let me ask you this, and that is a great point, and thank you for making that, because I think it's really critical these days when everybody is online. I mean, it's dangerous to drive down the street anymore. You might run over
yeah.
somebody who's glued to his phone. Even mm-hmm. here, I mean, I live in a very rural part of the state. I'm looking out the window right now at a sugarcane field.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, people and their phones, they just drive me nuts. I just want to say, put it down, look at the sky, breathe. But, you know, I can't do that. But I digress there. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, you do have this sense of community, is important for people to do this these days, but it has to start somewhere. So my question here is that when people come to you and they say, you tell them, you know, you're going to have to commit, are you willing to commit to 18 months? They need to understand that this really is an investment in their business, isn't it? It doesn't just kind
Absolutely.
Of happen. I mean, people like you make it look easy. I make it look easy. But we work
mm-hmm.
our butts off. The truth is,
yeah.
y'all who are listening, we work. I don't know about you. I don't take vacations. My office is in
mm-hmm.
my home. I work all the time. I've been known to send emails to my clients at 3:18 in the morning.
Yeah.
Not because I'm actually working, so because I can't.
It's a real bad habit that I have as well. But I'm a night person.
I know.
So.
Yeah. It's how we operate. I mean, I'm a night
yeah.
and morning person. I have a little
yeah.
bit of a breather in the day where I have a nervous breakdown and then I come back to it. But, I mean, it's amazing how entrepreneurs work. But the thing is, you do have to invest. So I guess my question to you, if somebody is coming to you and they're fairly new and they have this great idea to build an online business, how do you talk to them about investing in their business, in their health, in their mental and emotional stability? Because let's face it, y'all, being an entrepreneur, it's scary, and you just about have to have a cast iron stomach. So how
yeah.
do you kind of coach these people? Which leads me to another question. Don't let me forget, I want to ask you about coaching. So
mm-hmm.
I will mute myself
so,
and let you run with this one.
Yeah, and that's a great point, is that it's not just about building a business. It's about you surviving that. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, especially in the coaching world and the online world where I see so many people out there, they're more of a solopreneur situation, you know, that's a lonely place to be in. Building businesses with my family, we had multiple businesses going at one time, and there were several of us, and so we could bounce ideas off of each other. We had all of that going to kind of keep us grounded in what we were doing. But this world's been a bit different, and I realized fairly early on that I needed that piece as well. I needed to be working on the mindset shift for me, along with not just the business building. And so, you know, I think I started in January 2010. I met a woman in December of that year. And she ended up coming on my team. She's a mindset expert. And I've worked with her now for years and years. I've been working with her since 2011 on my own. She's my mindset coach, but she also works with my clients. It's extremely important when we get in that space of, I can't do this, how can I handle this? And our brain just takes that and runs with it, that we've at least got the awareness enough to stop and go, hold on, I need to talk to someone. And whether that is someone who's specifically a mindset coach or your business coach or whoever that is, you need that person to bounce that situation off of. And, you know, I just think it's extremely important for us to have the awareness. I've had clients in the past who will get in those situations and they will wait and and not contact me. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, why am I not seeing any of your stuff done? And that's when they finally tell me that they've been in a funk. And I'm like, just reach out. I think that's probably the first issue, is that we believe, most entrepreneurs, I should say, believe that they should know how to do it, that they should be able to do it on their own. That, right? I don't know where all that comes from, but the truth is
insanity.
We don't have
Let's
to know
just
how
call
to do
it what it
all.
Is. It's insanity.
It is insanity. It's exactly right.
Look,
so,
when I started out in 2000, none of this was available to me. You talk about a lonely place. Fortunately, I'm a complete and total introvert. In fact, I fully intend on becoming the crazy cat lady who sits on her porch with a shotgun. You know, it's down the road, I promise you. But, I mean, I am an introvert, so that part didn't bother me. But I had no one to bounce my ideas off of. And my ideas back in 2000 were fairly radical for what I was doing.
Right.
I didn't have access to coaches or even really to be able to see what other people were doing in my arena, because nobody really was doing what I was doing. And when all of a sudden, you know, I was able to kind of reach out to other people and say, oh, wow, you know, that's a great idea, and what do you think about this, and have those conversations, my world changed. It really did. So it's so important to have, you know, like you say, those mentors and those coaches, and kind of, you know, get on people's mailing list and just see what everybody else is up to and talk with people. One thing I have found, Michelle, and I'm sure you have found this as well, that entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, people like us, we are actually very generous with our time, and we want to see you succeed. I mean, I haven't come across anybody yet that said, no, I'm not interested in answering a question for you, or, you know, helping you if I can, or making a referral for you if I can. It just doesn't happen in the world.
I know. Entrepreneurs have my heart. They really do. My entire family is entrepreneurial, and I spent my entire life in this atmosphere. And what is so awesome about what I do now is that there's not the competitive, there's a little bit of the competitive nature, but it is not like it was in the trucking company, right? Or the grocery business, where it's like dog eat dog. There's been a major shift in entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial thinking. And, you know, the fact that I don't personally see competition. I see collaboration. I see ways of working together. And, you know, it's really interesting when I get a new person who's fairly new to entrepreneurship, or kind of new to this whole idea of the solo online kind of conversation, and they are still in that competitive mindset. I actually just had a conversation with someone last week who was developing a new software program and had just come out of a corporate world, never has owned a business before. And his demeanor was so competitive. And I thought, he's got a lot of growing to do. But it's not like that in our world. And so, yeah, it's very interesting how different all of this is. And we need that person to reach out to and talk to. And you know, big corporations have board of directors on purpose. Right? The solopreneur doesn't have the board of directors.
No, and we do need, you know, our own little kind of community, a book club, if you will. We do need to have trusted people that we can just kind of reach out and say, you know, I've got this great idea. What do you think? Am I nuts? Because sometimes you just are. But,
That's exactly right.
I find, and, you know, but I have to warn the audience, one thing we never, ever want to hear is, can I pick your brain? No, you can't.
Yeah, no, we're not looking
for
that.
I'm perfectly willing to help and answer some questions, but no, I'm not going to pick, no, we won't even go into that. But the answer is no. So let's go back to coaching, because when I started out, there was no coaching. I have a quick question about that. Do you think or are you observing that the coaching kind of world is becoming really oversaturated, or do you think not? Yes or no? I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know if saturated is the right word. I don't think we're saturated. I think there's a lot of us, you know. And then I also want to have the conversation, the difference between coaches and mentors. But
yes,
I consider myself more of a mentor than a coach. To me, and this is just kind of my personal view on it, coaches are taught to kind of draw it out of you. So I would expect that, you know, a mindset person is a coach. They're going to help you to see, right? I would be more what you would call a mentor. I'd be the person you would have on your board of directors. I'm going to tell you what I think is going to work. I'm going to tell you what I think is not going to work. I'm going to give you strong recommendations about how you should do what you do. My clients come to me because they want that. They don't want someone to help them draw it out of them. They want me to say, okay, so listen, this is how you're going to sell that. You're going to do a webinar. You're going to go speak here. You're going to do this. You're going to go do that. This is the time frame. They're looking for somebody to be very strategic. That's a mentor, okay?
Right.
And someone that they can, I got a text last night at 10 o'clock from one of my clients saying, I just received this email from somebody I worked with 3 months ago. This is what they're saying. How do I respond to this? And I just gave them the words to say back, right? That's a mentor instead of a coach to me. Now, as far as saturated, I think there's a lot of people who call themselves coaches and mentors who maybe shouldn't.
I think that was my real question, but I was trying to be polite.
Yeah.
I can't be polite for very long, though, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I did try.
I tell people, ask me all the time, how do I choose who I want to work with? And so I know because I always have a coach. I've shifted coaches 3 times in my, since I started this business. And so what I'm always looking for is the person or the business that I want to work with current and just staying up to date? Are they building still? Or are they just kind of stuck in what they were doing 20 years ago, right? Have they been doing the same thing forever? Or are they, like, cutting edge? Are they out there? Are they growing? That's one of the things I look for. The second thing I look for is really that gut. So trust your gut. When you talk to someone
Absolutely.
And you're like, oh, my God, that's it. They're nailing it. Okay, great. If you're like, oh, it sounds good, right, and you're getting that twitch, I'm like, no, your gut knows. And you know, it really is about them being ahead of you. It doesn't mean they have to be 40 miles ahead of you. They just have to be ahead of you. So, you know, you want to be careful about that. Some people shouldn't call themselves coaches. They don't have the history in place. You know, you come to me about building business because I have built multiple businesses. I have sold 2 businesses, right? I mean, so you go to people who know who have the experience to know what they're doing. I wouldn't go to a web developer who had never actually didn't have their own website, right? I mean, be smart about some of those things. So,
And I'm seeing this in the virtual assistants industry in particular. I mean, I belong to multiple groups where I'm basically going in as an observer. I want to see what the conversations are about. You know, I will contribute every now and then, but mostly I'm just seeing what they're up to, particularly the newer VAs. And I'm telling you, there is a very disturbing trend that is happening right now where virtual assistants who have been in the industry for, let's say a minute and a half, are now calling themselves coaches, and I'm going to break a tooth. I really am.
Right.
I snap my jaw together. It's like, oh, my gosh. And the very sad thing is that people who are hiring them as coaches or even hiring them as virtual assistants are not doing their due diligence. Drives me crazy. I mean, it's very easy to find out if anybody has a social media presence, if they're, you know, what their reputation is. Just do your due diligence. It's not difficult to do.
I know. It's the truth.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, one of the questions that I have is, if you're a business owner, what is a test that tells you if you're a business owner or if you're an entrepreneur? Because business owners sometimes are entrepreneurs and sometimes they're not. And I know that sounds odd, but sometimes they're just not.
Yeah. So, looking at the difference between just kind of the hobbyist, the I think I want to do this, the person that goes out and creates a job for themselves, right, versus the business owner. I'll never forget this. You know, I said earlier I am a third-generation entrepreneur. And so I grew up with parents who were building businesses. And, And I remember every summer we would get in our RV and we would travel the country for 2 weeks. And so we climbed in our RV one summer. I must have been maybe 10 or 12 years old. And we were driving down the highway. We were talking about something. Mom and Dad were talking about something in the business. And my dad said, you know, you're only a business owner if you can leave your business and it makes money while you're gone. And,
Makes sense.
It's just etched in my brain. So, you know, if you're looking to see, are you really a business owner, that is the thing. Does your business survive without you, or does it close whenever you're gone? And so if you're stuck in that it's closed when I'm gone situation, there are things to start working on. I mean, when I started this business, that's the way it was. I couldn't have said that I couldn't have passed that test. You know, it was just me in the beginning, and then I started bringing on a team, and now I have a fully developed team. This business runs, you know, it continues to work and make money and things whenever I'm not here, and I can go, I'm going to Costa Rica in 2 weeks for vacation, and, you know, I can do those things because my business is a real business. So, yeah, I want you all to think about what do I need to do to get to that point, and am I willing to do it, right? So
that's the big question.
Am I willing to do it? Yeah. So that's the real test.
What happens when people just can't kind of fight their way out of that mindset? And I love that you have mindset coach on your team, because I think that's so important. Look, as solopreneurs, as entrepreneurs, this is just my observation, and I have no data to back this up, but I talk with a lot of other entrepreneurs. We're all high-functioning workaholics. I mean, that's just who we are, as far as I can tell.
Correct.
And sometimes it's easy to lose sight of the things that you need to be doing for yourself, for your body, for your health. Drink water. I mean, I would get a headache and go, oh, geez. And, you know, I have to run and grab my water bottle because I just forgot to drink water. We just get so caught up in what we're doing. I mean, you know, physical activity, vacations, family time. It's very easy, disturbingly easy, I think, to just let all that kind of fall by the wayside if you're not very mindful of the fact that you are the business and you must be healthy and you must be hydrated, which I'm thirsty right now. And, I mean, you know, you've got to get out. You know, my gym is in my garage, so you've got to get out in the garage every morning at 4:30 and work out. Do you find that when you're talking with new clients, are they surprised to find that they need to be mindful of their own health and their own, you know, mental thoughts and attitudes?
Yeah, I think a lot. I think that they're kind of aware, but they're not doing it. They're not scheduling it, and that's actually what I was going to say was that, you know, for me, I schedule everything, and I had to get okay with that. I got okay a long time ago with scheduling in time for my kids, with scheduling time, you know, for me to go work out with a trainer. I'm not the person who will get up and work out in my garage. I do go to a trainer because without that commitment of going, I don't go. So I got really good at scheduling all of that. And, you know, when I want to make sure I'm drinking my water, I keep it on my desk in front of me. And at the end of the day, I'm in trouble if I didn't drink it, right? We just have to set the motion, and you know, also, Denise, knowing that what we focus on is what grows, and so when we focus on the fact that we're going to drink the water, or focus on that we're going to go for the walk in the middle of the day, you know, it was a beautiful 70 degrees yesterday, and I'm in the middle of a coaching week, so in a coaching week for me, that's three straight days of all-day coaching. And I had a 30-minute break yesterday. I knew that was my break. I jumped up, grabbed the dog, and we went for a walk, right? So I know I have to work those things in. I really resisted a long time ago that they had to be scheduled. I really thought they had to be natural and had the awakening one day that who cares if it's scheduled? I schedule my appointments with my clients. I schedule speaking engagements. Why can't it be scheduled for me to know when I'm going to work out or when I'm going to – you know, I took my kids are grown now. I took my kids to dinner on Wednesday night. It was on my schedule. My assistant knew, don't book anything for Michelle on Wednesday night because she's going to hang with her kids. You know?
Oh, yeah. I schedule calls with my mother. I do the same
thing. Absolutely.
I mean, I have to because I'm so busy. And if I don't schedule it, I will forget to go outside and play with the dog. I'll let I'll let her out, but I'll have to remind myself, no, go play fetch with her. I'm teaching my dog how to fetch. My cat knows how to fetch. Dog knows. But oddly enough, I had to schedule that until it became kind of a muscle memory. So, you know, we just get busy and we get, you know, kind of caught up in all the minutiae of the business. And that leads me to a question we have in the chat room. Della Berkovich wants to know, what is the difference between one-on-one coaching, group coaching, virtual trainings, or multi-day live events, and how do you know what is best for you? Thank you, Della. Great question.
Great question, and wow. Okay, so if I miss one, remind me. So let's start with what the difference between all of that is. For me, one-on-one coaching versus group coaching, let's start with that. I actually have a combination of the two. My one-on-one clients, meaning they get personal one-on-one time with me every month. And by the way, it's all done by phone or by computer because I don't have a single client that lives in the same state as me. And so, they get one-on-one conversation, one-on-one working on their business. But I also know the importance of group and being with other like-minded individuals. So I include the group aspects in my one-on-one programs. So that means that every month they're going to get together on a Q&A call. They're all there. We do it on a platform so they could see each other's faces, and they're asking me questions, and we just stay for an hour and a half and do nothing but answer business questions. Three or four times a year, we fly everyone in to have that in-person three-day intensive that I do with my private clients. So those are the group aspects. Now, sometimes when we're talking about group coaching, some people are speaking specifically of group, meaning that the only attention they get is in group attention. So there's no one-on-one access to the person that you're working with. I personally, I think group is great because there are times when you have to have it because you can't maybe afford to work with that person one-on-one yet. However, I also know that one-on-one that's where it's going to happen faster there. In a group environment, you get great group support, but you have to know how to take that group activity and apply it to your own business. So, you know, that's kind of the difference when I hear people say, so what's one-on-one versus group? Usually they're talking about just kind of the structure. So one-on-one being you get to work with that person specifically, group being it's all just you and the entire group and that person, you know, and they're answering questions or something like that. What were the other two she said, live events and?
Well, you covered one-on-one and group coaching. The next one was virtual trainings or multi-day live events.
Yes. So virtual trainings, meaning that an example of a virtual training is a webinar. I do a lot of virtual trainings. Some of them are free, some of them are paid. And that simply means that you're going to access whatever it is through the computer. For me, I usually have some form of a PowerPoint with mine. I will tell you, I began back in the early days strictly audio, no PowerPoint or anything. Now I like to have that. Virtual training is, you have to have a certain level of commitment for virtual training to the virtual training. So you can learn a lot and do a lot in a virtual training, but you have to be committed to do it because you're sitting in your office or you're sitting at your house and it's really easy to get distracted. Okay, so when you look at virtual training versus going to a live event, so I hold a live three-day event in Houston every year. It's called the Side Act Profit, and we're going to spend 3 days in that room working on marketing, working on their businesses. They're going to come to the mic, they're going to get their questions answered. You're very committed when you're in the room, right? I've participated as a participant in lots of virtual events, and I've held lots of virtual events. They are great, but just know you have to know you. You have to know that you're going to be like, okay, so this virtual event is running today from 10 to 3, and I'm not going to miss any of it. I'm not going to let the kids walk in and say, I'm hungry. I'm not going to have to get up and go do this, right? That's the thing. about choosing if you want to do something virtually versus in person.
And it can be tough. I mean, you do have to schedule
yeah.
it, and you do have to commit to it, which are two separate
yeah.
things.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
I think you answered that, Fidella. I think that was, you know, let's see, one-on-one group coaching, virtual trainings, multi-day live events. So multi-day live events, are these things that, you know, like podcast world and that type of thing and yours, again,
mm-hmm.
these are investments. They really are.
Right.
So what should people be prepared to think and do about these types of events? Because, you know, you're investing in time, you're investing in money. But here's my question. When you leave that room, you're all fired up. But when you get back home and then life kind of gets in the way, which life does.
Correct.
So how do you keep up that momentum? Do you have something that you can maybe tell people, okay, this is how you're going to keep on going. Schedule it, work it. What do you tell people to do?
Absolutely.
So that investment isn't just, hey, that was fun, cool. Now what?
Right, exactly, because that is what happens. We get back home and life kicks in. And so a couple of things, and one would be, and I have attended lots of events. The majority of entrepreneurs did not go to school to be an entrepreneur. And so these three-day events, these training events, these networking events, they are our education tool, right? That's how we go and learn more about this if we're not going to go back to school and get an MBA. And so when I go to events like that, I'm looking for what are my big takeaways and what is it specifically that I'm going to do immediately when I get home, what's coming up in the next couple of quarters. At this point in my business, we use a program called Asana, which is our project management program, asana.com. I think it's still free. I don't think I pay for Asana. And so I set tasks from an event in Asana. And I will, let's say I hear a great idea, and I know it's not for right now, but it's maybe I want to do it in the third quarter of 2016. I will go into Asana, I will create that task, write as many notes about it as I can, everything I'm thinking, and I will schedule that thing for October or September or August or whatever month I want to look at it again and start to implement it. And so by doing those kind of things, by knowing, okay, I'm going home and these are the three things that I'm going to change immediately, and here's two or three that I'm going to do, but I'm not going to do them till later, I put them in a structured platform that reminds me. And for you, maybe that's Google Calendar. Maybe you're just going to go into your Google Calendar and make a note in August that you want to come back and revisit this topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I assign myself tasks to get done. And I assign my team, by the way. My team just loves me when I go to an event because I come back with all kinds of stuff for them to do, you know. So, but I assign those things while I'm at the event because if I wait to come home, then, you know, things happen. And all of a sudden I'm like, wow, that event was 3 weeks ago. I can't believe it's already been 3 weeks and I haven't done any of the stuff I said I was going to do. So, yeah.
Well, that's a great tip. I wouldn't have thought of that, but I don't go to events. So,
mm-hmm,
but still,
yeah.
When I'm on, you know, conversations like this and I'm going back and I'm rewriting the show notes, that's
right.
I do kind of the same thing. I'm like, okay, let me follow up with her. And, oh, I love this. And this could be a blog post. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, once we're through with this, I'm going to have all kinds of notes. So I know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Exactly.
That's a great idea. Okay, so Della says, I said, well, I hope it helped. She said, great, thank you, hope it helped. She said, it did. You, I think she means me, is an introvert, but I'm out there. But she's okay, but she's an introvert online. What
mm-hmm.
do we tell Della? I think she needs your help.
about the introvert online part?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to sales. I think she probably may need to really distinguish between marketing and sales. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, guys, I mean, seriously, I am an extreme introvert as well. And so a couple of things. One being, and Della, this is not an answer to your question. This is just something I feel like I have to say. And that is that I got really clear after that first year that I had to put myself out there. And so what I did was I developed a process where it doesn't matter where I go to network, I have people in that area that know and love me. And so I'll go to Houston, which is about 2 hours from where I live in Louisiana. I'll go to Houston to network, and I will make sure that someone in that room is there that's going to introduce me to people. I don't leave my table. I don't. I'm an introvert. If they don't come to me, it doesn't happen. But I always have someone with me who's like a really high I or not introverted, and they will bring people and go, oh, my God, you need to meet Michelle, right? So just putting that out there for you. Create that for yourself.
That is brilliant. I'm always the person at the back door when I go to Midnight Mass. I go twice a year. When I go to Midnight Mass or I have to go anywhere where there are other people and there's lots of other people, I'm the person at the back door with my keys in my hand, always.
Yes.
That's just that I've got to get out of there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have to overcome that, right? The other thing about being introverted for me is the whole, I only need 20 seconds of courage, because this is what I found out, that I actually like speaking once I'm up there and doing it. It's that moment from the minute that they say my name to me walking up or grabbing the mic or whatever that is, that's the fear. That's the 20 seconds of courage I have to have. And same thing about putting yourself out there online. I'm a big believer that every single one of us has knowledge to share. Every one of us has things that others are supposed to learn from us. We're put here for a reason. And so the problem we as introverts have is that we either don't believe that we have that information, or we're too scared about what they're going to think about us or say about us or whatever, and we just got to suck it up. We seriously do. We have to have the 20 seconds of courage that says, I'm putting this out there, and so if everybody doesn't like it, okay, I got it. And I'm going to tell you, I've had some really painful times, but the reality is I still did it. I still put it out there. I put out a lot of content. I write a lot of things. I have people say some bad stuff about me, not often, but sometimes. And so I put things in place so that I don't have to see it. I got a team. And, you know, it's really funny, but when people opt out of my list or something, I don't see those things anymore. It hurt my feelings. So I make sure my team takes care of it, and it's kind of whisked away before, you know, we redirected it so that it doesn't come to my inbox. And, you know, so we just need to change some of those things so that we're not feeling like we're attacked all the time, and we still got to get out there and do it. So listen, just take the 20 seconds of courage. It's all it takes, just 20 seconds. So,
yeah, I mean, really, you're sharing information. Marketing to me is you're sharing information. It could be yours. It could be mine. I mean, I may be sharing your information. I mean, I share an awful lot with my audience that I'm basically curating other people's content, because people have great content. It can't be all about me, all about me, all about me, and I'm not asking for the sale. I'm really just trying to share information with the people who listen to me, who watch me online, and who interact, and it seems to work very well. And I pick up a lot of really great tips and information by following people like you around. So that's you know, how it kind of works. That's marketing, basically. Sales, that's a whole other thing. And you know what, Michelle? I really would love for you to come back, because I've got questions we never got to.
I'd love that, Denise. We'll have to do that.
Oh. Yeah, I put you on the spot on the show, so you can't say no. Wasn't that tricky?
That's right. No.
But seriously, I would love to talk with you about list building and, you know, just a lot of conversions and things that we didn't make it through today. So I would love to have you come back, and I'll send you a note. So before we go, we're about to stop recording here. So before we go, tell people where they can find you on the Internet.
Yeah, so decisiveminds.com is my website, and I'm on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all the great social media sites, but you can connect to everything from the website, decisiveminds.com, and you know, get connected with us. We have we're actually in the middle of a list-building challenge right now, and we're getting ready. I'm going to teach a webinar on the 3rd on list-building. So, yeah, lots of stuff going on.
Excellent. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been wonderful chatting with you, and I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways and the examples that you gave as much as I did. Everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, maybe a little bit less. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Michelle Michelle Sism. And I will see you next week. Michelle, thank you.
Thanks, Denise.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeonthe.web.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.